Hello there and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. It's just a few days until the Premier League season kicks off. I'm joined here by Mark Douglas and Lee Ryder. Are we looking forward to the new season, lads?
I am really looking forward to it. It'd be great to have football back.
Mark, Lisa, you're looking forward to getting up?
I mean, for me, the football never really switches off because it's such a big part of my life. And, you know, I'm always looking for games to watch so that seasons don't really stop and start. It all just seems to be one big thing. But to be back at St James's Park in front of a sellout crowd, to be back in the Premier League, to be playing such a good team as Spurs and have the prospect of getting a good result and really stamping the authority back in the Premier League, I think it's a great thing. And I think the fans need it as well. It's been a long summer for them. They haven't been able to see every game like we have. But I think that game, you know, it's one where the whole country's going to be looking in as well. It's Rafa Benitez is well aware of that. I don't think he's had a break this summer. So it's just a massive occasion, and I'm you know, looking forward to being back in the press box on Sunday.
Fantastic. We'll get on to Sunday in just a moment. We'll start, though, with the latest transfer news, which is Kennedy of Chelsea heading up on loan. Lee, first of all, what do you make of that? What's your latest understanding of that deal?
Well, he's met Rafa Benitez in London. Things are looking good at this stage. We're at the paperwork point of the deal now. I think earlier in the summer there was probably a completely different list to the one that Rafa Benitez is looking at now. He's had to sort of, you know, maybe drop down. This could be choice C, choice D in this position. And I think really Newcastle need bodies in. Rafa Benitez has accepted he's not going to get 90 to 100 million like he expected, like we expected, like we were briefed, and that hasn't happened. They've spent 30 million in terms of transfer fees. They've probably spent a lot on wages, agent fees as well, and I think really they're probably close to the pot running dry unless Mr. Ashley decides to put some more money in.
And Mark, you know, I've been speaking to colleagues down in London. They've been talking to me about Kennedy, and one of the things that comes across is that this season is really kind of make or break. We've been speaking to Oliver, who works for Oliver Harbord, who works at football.london. He says that it is this season that he's going to have to impress. Kennedy's going to have to impress if he wants to make it at Chelsea. Obviously, well documented issues at the China pre-season tour. Why does Benitez think that maybe he can change the path of Kennedy's career, so to speak?
Well, he's got ability, clearly. I mean, there's no doubt about that, as I think all the players that Rafa's signed this summer have got ability. But I think that they're available at the stage they are and for sort of little money, partly because it's about good coaching to get the best out of them. Now, one of the things that everybody always said about Alan Pardew, sometimes a little bit unfairly, I think, was that the players got Pardew, didn't they? That was always what they said. You had your guys like Gael Bigger-Romana, who he didn't get the best out of because he couldn't give them chances. Now, I think the job for Rafa this season is going to be to get the best out of players. Now, you know that if you're bringing in players from Spain, Brazil, and Kennedy in particular, they're going to have a good tactical, technical awareness. So they're going to be able to fit into the system that Rafa wants. Now, Rafa likes the young players because he knows that if he sends them out to do a job, they will do that job. It's really important that if he sends them out, he can trust them. It's why I think Mitrovic probably hasn't got much of a future under Rafa. Kennedy will do that. He's got ability. He's played once in the last season. Now, that's kind of the problem here, isn't it? And he's obviously shown a little bit of immaturity off the field by posting what he did about China, which is why he's available for Newcastle. I think they probably would have kept him, Chelsea, by the sound of things, or they certainly wouldn't have loaned him out to another Premier League team as soon as they did. So it's quite an exciting deal in some ways. It's just the overall thing of Newcastle not yet having brought in anybody with any significant Premier League experience kind of makes you think. But look, you know, Rafa's getting on with it, and I think he'll turn this team into something that is difficult to beat. And I think, you know, Kennedy's just going to be one part of that. He's going to offer options, isn't he? At the back, he's going to offer a left back, left midfield. He can even play in the centre as well, can't he? I think. So, you know, if it was that Newcastle had signed another striker, I'd say decent addition. I think it's just they need to get that striker in for us to kind of be too enthusiastic about what they've managed to do.
And is that where you see him fitting in at the back, offering competition maybe with Paul Dummett? Because obviously we've got Rolando Ahrens, who's coming back full fitness. He's been quite impressive during the pre-season. You know, if Kennedy comes in and is in competition for that left-sided midfield role, then what does it mean for Aaron, so to speak? So how do you see fitting in?
Well, that's a good question, isn't it? I mean, the fact that he can play in either role just means he can offer that. But I think he's probably predominantly coming in as a winger, is that what you think? Or?
I think winger and a bit of cover at left-back, I think he's quite... He can adapt to positions, so I think it's probably more of a squad cover player.
Yeah.
And Aaron's wise, does that mean, what does it mean for Aaron's in that case? Like, is it, do you think that Aaron's is going to go out on loan? Do you think he's going to stop and offer a competition? Is there anything you understand?
I think with Rolando Aaron's is that he wants to stay and he wants to push on. Whether that happens or not, I couldn't say it 100% at this time, because I think, personally, little bits and pieces that I've heard is that he is probably a player that if Newcastle got a good bid for, they would sell him and try and boost the kitty towards the end of the window. Now, whether there's clubs are going to be, how much is Rolando Aaron's worth? I would say between 10 and 12 million. They've just bought, obviously, Jacob Murphy for a similar price. I honestly think that, you know, that they can get through without him, but me personally, because I think he's a good lad and a good player, I would like to see him succeed here, because I think at one point we were talking about him as a potentially another sort of Sterling kind of player. So, yeah, I think it's up in the air for him. He couldn't guarantee that he's going
to
stay.
Obviously, we'll get on to pre-season in general as a whole, but on Aaron's pre-season, you obviously went to Germany.
Yeah.
You followed the club throughout the summer. I mean, how did he impress, or did he impress you?
Yeah, there was games where, you know, the most important thing, I mean, we all know what he can do going forward. He's a very skillful player and he's got a goal in him and an assist in him. But the most important thing for me was that he got taken out a few times in those games, really tough challenges, and he got straight back up. He bounced straight back up. And for me, that was a good thing, because we all know his injury problems. He's worked hard to get to that level of fitness. And the fact that he's got through the pre-season is a big plus for him personally. But where he plays next season, we'll have to wait and see.
Just going to obviously one of the positions which you've slightly already mentioned, Mark, is up front, the striker position. We've seen Andre Gray go for 18.5 million. We know United were potentially looking at him at one point. First of all, is that someone that you think United have missed out on, or have they dodged a bullet for that price?
I think what, again, you know, Lee mentioned it earlier about kind of where they were in March and April, which is when that link first sort of came out. It is very different from where they are now. I think in March and April, when Graham Carr was there as well, they were looking at different kind of players. They were looking at, Harry Maguire was one that they got offered. I think Andre Gray was definitely one that they were looking at. There were others that they were looking at as well, who they were thinking, you know, we fancy these. Gray was one of those. I think from what I heard, Rafa didn't massively fancy him in the end. He saw kind of failings there, things like, I think technically he's not that great. I don't think he can necessarily do a job like that. I think he will probably work for what Watford want for him. He worked for Burnley last season because he's a willing runner. You know, he's got that, you know, he's got a goal in him. But for the money that they're asking, I think Newcastle were never going to go there, even if they had unlimited funds. So I don't think they've missed out on him. I wouldn't say, a bit like the Maguire thing, if they weren't in for him, you can't really say they missed out. But, you know, again, it's another one where it was another available option who they've not ended up with. And, you know, it's worrying when you see Watford and Brighton spending money that Newcastle aren't spending at the moment. And I think that's the only thing, is that, you know, like, they're going to start the season without a new striker who can play. They cannot end the window without another striker, because it just, that just to me would just be, you know, you'd just be inviting problems. And you know, whatever happens, whatever Mike Ashley and Lee Charnley kind of, you know, however they're seeing things, and Justin Barnes obviously is there as well, however they're seeing things, it just doesn't make any sense not to bring in a striker. However they do it, they need to do it.
Does your gut instinct say they will finish the window, they will bring someone in? They will.
I'm pretty sure they will, because I think that they will have to. And I think Rafa is, we've seen from yesterday, from his quotes yesterday, that he will manage it and he will be true to what he believes in, and he'll keep pushing it. Publicly now, we know he's come out and said what he'd said at the fan forum the other week, which was obviously a mixture of positive, which is him saying he's committed to the club, and, you know, obviously saying how much he wants to do it well for the squad and the fans and everything, but also concerning part of, like, saying I'm not happy, I'm frustrated. Said it with a smile on his face, but you know, he said also the key quote for me was, "We're not getting players we want; we're getting players we need." And that is a key quote, isn't it? There, and I know it's not the positive message that we want to put across. But if he does get a striker in and another, you know, I think he probably will get two or three more in, and there'll be one or two going out. Then I think he'll say, "Right, okay, let's draw a line under it and let's get on with it." And long term, we don't know where this is going to lead, but short term, they get a striker in, and it could be Lucas Perez. Then, you know, he'll get on with it, and I think they'll be able to be competitive, which is what all they need to do.
And yesterday, Lee, obviously Rafa mentioned that he'd spoken to Arsenal about Lucas Perez. What's the latest that you understand on the chase for the Arsenal striker?
Well, I think Newcastle are looking for a loan deal to begin with for that particular player. I think he wants to leave Arsenal. There's no doubt about that. He's got other options. But Rafa made it clear the other day at the press conference. I asked him. I said, "Look, we've got to address this Lucas Perez thing. What's going on here?" And it's very rare that a manager
does he?
A manager never speaks publicly about his targets. He always says, "Oh, we don't do names." But on this occasion, he says, "I like him. I like the player. I know about him." And he knew that would give, obviously, us a line to write, which was gold for a journalist to get that. But also get that message out there that, you know, to Lee Charnley. Lee Charnley's got the list of players in front of him now that Rafa wants. They've got to go out and get them. They haven't got much time left. It's starting to get a little bit tense now.
And taking that line that, you know, he said at the press conference that he likes Lucas Perez, and what he said at the Premier League launch about him not being happy at the start, you know, the painful mistakes. Well, what is Rafa doing there? We've seen before he says he's not political, but to a lot of people, that those lines, those quotes, they seem every bit political.
I think he's being honest. You know, it was important that, I think we've seen in the past that stuff's gone on, that managers haven't been happy with. Steve McLaren wouldn't say publicly what the problems were, that then he subsequently did talk about, didn't he? He subsequently admitted he let things go on that he shouldn't have let go on. And I think Rafa's just getting it out there publicly. He's being honest, basically, I think, on this one. Is it a tactic to force the hand of the owners? I think it doesn't do him any harm to get it out there, in terms of he'll just be thinking, well, look, you know, it needs to be pushed. He knows he's in a very strong position because the fans, the city, the players, you know, even the journalists, to an extent, are kind of like, you know, we saw at first hand what Rafa did. And so he knows he's got a very, very strong hand. So I think there was an element of that as well. But I think he was just being honest. And I think, you know, sometimes he's had to bite his tongue a little bit. But, you know, he's just being honest. And will it force Mike Ashley's hand? Well, we don't know how Mike Ashley's going to react. You know, watch this space. We don't, you know, let's put it that way. But there's definitely a case, I think, that out there that Rafa's, you know, he's just telling people what should be happening. That's why Rafa's such a good manager, in that, like, he's just telling people. He's just being perfectly 100% honest. I'm not happy. I wrote a piece yesterday. I said he's happy at Newcastle United, but he's not happy with Newcastle United, and that is the key at the moment. So long term, does that create store problems? Potentially it does, but a lot can change. And we still, as I said, don't know where Mike Ashley's head is at. But as I said, watch this space.
And when you mentioned kind of paying for the mistakes, I mean, is that simply, do you think he's talking about just missing out on the likes of Tammy Abraham? Or do you think there's other things that have gone on that he's alluding to there?
Obviously, I think they'll probably know this one as well. But like, I mean, he's alluding there, I think, to the priority targets that he had. I mean, I think he said yesterday, didn't he? He said, "I got one of the targets that I actually said was my priorities," which I assume was Lejeune. I think it was Lejeune. Then he had Abraham, who scored 3 and 4 for Swansea in pre-season. So that shows he knows what he's talking about. And Caballero, who obviously that became a bit difficult as well. But if he'd have got all of those players, and maybe Shea Ojo as well, who's another one of his key men. And he'd have got Andros Townsend last in January, which is what he wanted as well. He'd have been very happy, and he'd have said, "Right, we're on our way again." But he hasn't got those. I think when he says mistakes, I think he means that they waited too long and they didn't pay the money that they should have done. And his point yesterday was, we didn't pay the money for Tammy Abraham, which was a lot, by the way. I said the other week it was a massive deal. But now he's saying, well, we didn't get him, and it's going to cost us more, either in terms of having to spend more on a striker or potentially even not getting him at all.
And for you, Lee, if you know Benitez doesn't get Perez, who is there a name on the radar which you look at and think that would fit the mould that Benitez is looking for?
Well, he wants somebody who's going to be reliable, and when we talk about that, we're actually discussing Mitrovic, because he doesn't think Mitrovic is reliable in terms of will he get the goals, possibly. Will he stay on the pitch? Possibly. Will he? What's he going to do? You know, I'm sure he's not going to be throwing rocks at trains as he was talking about the other day. I mean, whether he'd hit the target or not, I don't know. But I think for me, really, you've got to go to this Dwight Gayle situation. Is Dwight Gayle strong enough, fit enough to get through the season? If he's not, the backup plan, who is it? Is it Mitrovic? If something happens to Mitrovic, you're struggling.
Yeah,
you're playing somebody out of position, or you're going down the academy and you're saying to Emmanuel Riviere, do you know that £45,000 we're paying you? Can you now start showing us what we're getting for that? So, going back to who they've got in mind, they've considered so many strikers this summer from all different leagues. We said before, Andy Carroll was discussed at one point. So that, for me, not saying that it's desperation, but if you're going back to something that, you know, that's 6 years ago now, Andy Carroll being a success at Newcastle, never been fit, so it's a problem, and he is kind of banging on the Lucas Perez deal, so it's something he's going to have to.
And if from the end of the window a striker hasn't come in, I mean, where does that leave Newcastle? I mean, it doesn't really bear thinking about, does it?
It's unthinkable. Yeah, it's, if they go into September the 1st without a striker, the city will be flat, regardless of how they've started the season. I mean, if they win the first three games, great. But if they don't, then I think it would be really difficult. I think for Rafa Benitez, as we've said, he didn't take a holiday. He had the players who he wanted on a sheet of paper. They haven't delivered for him, as far as I'm concerned. He's had the same problems. And the difference between Rafa and someone like Steve McClaren, Alan Pardew, is that they were prepared to do the job on restricted circumstances. Rafa has been promised certain things, and so far they haven't been delivered. And it's certainly, if they get a September without a striker, he must feel like banging his head against the wall, to be honest.
They could start the season with Perez and Mitrovic, potentially, up front, which was the front two that saw him go down. I mean, it's that, and you know, potentially, if they don't bring in another striker, they've sold Daryl Murphy, so they'd actually have less firepower than they did in the Championship. So, you know, really, these are the facts staring whoever it is making the decision not to press the button on Perez in the face.
And there's nobody coming through either from the under 20s. There's no goal scorer from the under 23s that's definitely going to come in and say he's ready, give him a chance. There's nothing like that. Obviously, Adam Armstrong's gone out on loan. As I say, you know, Manuel Riviere.
Your great instinct, ladies, are you of a feeling a bit like Mark that they will bring somebody in just simply because they have to?
Well, at the end of the day, they haven't done it so far. It took them, the Marino deal, for example, took them nearly 8 or 9 weeks to get that sorted. We've only got 3 weeks left, so you can't guarantee anything. You'd like to think it would happen. You'd like to think Rafa would be backed. You should think what happens if he isn't backed. So it's, you know, it's time for the board, Lee Charney, to step up to the plate and go out there and deliver for Rafa Benitez to go into the long, hard winter with the tools for the job. If you haven't got the tools for the job, it's like anything. If you haven't got the tools for the job, you can't do it properly. You're going to be doing a secondary thing. They've got to make money available. So it's, you know, it's up to the powers that be now.
And Mark, why isn't it working as smoothly as Benitez would have hoped this transfer window? Is it a case that the money isn't there, or is it a case that it's more to do with the TV money, a case that Ashley doesn't really want to give him the money? What's your opinion?
Well, Alan Pardew said this week, and he's probably, you know, bear in mind he was there, that the club only spend what they generate, which, you know, so I think it sounds like maybe that they're spending the money that they got from the TV deal, so you get about 30-40 million at the start of the season. But that wasn't what Rafa understood it to be, as you can see from the way he's talked. I think it's like a combination of things, really. I think the takeover situation, that kind of was a red flag for me a little bit when that first came out about Mike Ashley might sell, because, you know, if you're going to sell the club, then you don't, you know, you may be looking after the balance sheet a little bit more. I think the presence of Justin Barnes there, that's two transfer windows now where he's been involved, and two transfer windows where Rafa's not got what he wanted. The previous transfer window, he did. I don't know Justin Barnes, I've not met him. So I'm just kind of surmising there because I don't know exactly what his role is, but put two and two together and it looks pretty obvious there. And I think finally, I think they haven't got the money that a lot of the teams at the top, the market's been really difficult. So that's been a problem as well. I think there's probably a little bit there. You'd hope so. But yeah, it's just a case of, you know, why didn't Kevin Keegan get what he wanted? Why didn't, you know, it just feels to me as if like there's a little bit of whatever's going on, it's not generally being communicated at the moment. As I said, you know, we might learn a little bit more about that at some point, hopefully. So yeah, it'd be nice to think that it might change. But yeah, I mean, you know, I can't give you a definitive answer because Rafa hasn't got a definitive answer. So
it's funny you mentioned Keegan, because I covered the club that summer where Keegan walked out, and they were in Mallorca that summer playing in a tournament, and Kevin was very downbeat during that few weeks. Mm. And it was very obvious that something wasn't right behind the scenes. I haven't quite detected that with Rafa. Yeah. I think he's got a bit more fight in him than Keegan did at that time, because I think for Keegan it was like his worst nightmare happening all over again. Him not getting, not so much not getting his way, but not being able to do the job that the job he wanted to do. You know, he didn't get that opportunity. Whereas Rafa, this is the first time Rafa's been here for Keegan. He'd been there many times before. So I think that Rafael certainly put up a fight with the board, whether he walks out or not, which keeps getting dredged up, doesn't it? I'm not saying he's not like brave enough to walk away, but he could do it.
Yeah.
He's not worried, is he? No. He'd walk into another job straight away. Yeah.
I think what's really interesting, Lee mentioned it there, and I think that is absolutely a key thing, was actually when you watched Rafa yesterday and when Lee's spoken to him in pre-season, when you see him in his press conferences, he's full of smiles. He's having little jokes here and there. It doesn't look like a man who's ready to walk away. He said himself there, like, I'm staying positive. He's like, I mean, this is the tragedy, not the tragedy of the situation, but because that makes it sound more serious than it is. But it's the shame of the situation is you've got a guy there who it would take something remarkable for him to walk away, because he loves the city. He loves the fans. He feels an obligation to the fans because they've given him so much. They've given this affection in him, which I think he hasn't experienced in his last few jobs. And he feels this responsibility, and that's why his fans love him. That's why they'll back him, and that's why
he's got the respect of football.
Exactly.
You know, sorry for butting in there, but well, it's just something I remembered from pre-season when they played Mainz away. The Mainz players, they're all after the game in the mix zone, they're more or less queuing up to go up to the guy and shake his hand, and that's the respect he's got in football.
Yeah. And that's the thing, isn't it? And it's like, he's an honourable guy. He doesn't want to walk away. He thinks this job is not even begun yet. So he wants to stay and he wants to do it. But you know, and he's probably already done more than enough to repay the club in a way. He'll feel like keeping up this season. I think he'll stay until the end of this season, whatever, because I think that he'll see it as a challenge. But you know, he doesn't want to walk away. That's the thing. It's the last thing that he wants to do. But you know, don't test him. Yeah. Like none of us want him to walk away. But don't don't push him too far, because you know he'll put up with a lot, and I think he has put up with a lot. But he's not letting. Like Lee made a good point there. There's fight in him, isn't there? He's like turned it all around because he's been annoyed, and we saw the first set of headlines were in back in June, the end of June, and that was accurate. And I know a lot of people were like, "Oh, he's stirring the pot," but that was accurate. But he's kind of changed his mentality during the preseason.
He's adapted to the circumstances, you know. And he's the thing with him is he's intelligent in terms of he understands the mood within the camp, and you've only got to watch him. We're lucky enough we can see him in training, we can see him around the place, things like that, when I said in Germany. Yeah. And he's just such a football man that, I mean, anyone who doesn't go, you know, football managers, they can't wait normally to get away for the holiday.
Yeah.
You know, Bahamas, wherever. But Rafa, you know, stayed here.
Yeah. And that's the thing, isn't it? That's the other thing about Rafa, like, which I think is quite funny and quite, like, quite endearing, is that the guy, it'll be his worst nightmare to be, for the season to be going on in England, him to have walked away, he'd be sat in his home in Wirral, knowing that probably his chances are he's not going to get a job, like, really quickly, watching everything going on, his players playing for somebody else at Newcastle, he just won't, that would kill him. Yeah. I mean, you know, this is the guy who went, and when he was out of work in Liverpool, went and coached his daughter's junior team because he was so, like, he wanted to be involved, and he was like telling them what to do tactically, doing all this. He's obsessed with football. He wants to be in a job, you know, and that's what Newcastle have got for their money, you know, and that's what, if they tap into that and just give him a little bit of what he wants, his targets aren't unrealistic. Tammy Abraham isn't Neymar. You know, it wouldn't have taken too much. But anyway, like, I don't want to get into that run again. But I thought Lee's absolutely spot on there. Lee's got the insight because he's seen him all summer. Nobody else has seen every minute of pre-season. Nobody else has seen those training sessions. You know, Lee's spang on there.
Yeah, we'll get on to Jim. Just said, just one more question. If the transfer window isn't a success, if Benitez deems it not to be a success, I know you've briefly mentioned this, Mark, in your book about Lee Charney. What does it mean for Lee Charney? Because can he afford another failure, so to speak, on his card?
Well, I think his main brief last season, Lee Charney's, was to get the club back to the Premier League, to keep Rafa, which he's done so far, and to get a good major sponsor, which he's done. Yeah. So, as far, whatever anyone else thinks of him, his pledge to Mike Ashley were those three things, and he's achieved all three. We've now got 3 weeks left of this window, and his task really, for the supporters and for the people of the city, is to make sure Rafa's happy for them 3 weeks. And, you know, the pressure, it's a tough job being managing director of Newcastle United. Let's be honest, he's had a tough summer as well, Lee Charney. And for him, really, going forward, this is his chance to really establish himself as a good administrator in the game. If he can get Rafa the tools for the job he needs, and let's just get into September happy and go into that long hard winter, then I think it'll be pretty quiet on that in terms of pressure from fans. If you tick all the boxes, go into September, people should be happy.
I suppose in a way he's working under constraints, because does it work that, or do you believe it would work that Mike Ashley will say to him, like, kind of, here's the budget, Lee, you've got to go and work within that constraint? I mean, that, or is it that Lee Charney just isn't maybe...
No, it's a bit more complicated than that. I think probably the deals, he has to do the best deal he can do in terms of the best bargain. He has to squeeze every penny out of every deal. And I think probably what's happened is that a few of the deals that have come back to Newcastle have just not appealed to the bean counters. I don't think Mike Ashley... I mean, you know, Mike Ashley said himself, didn't he, in the High Court, I have no frontline involvement with Newcastle United. Now, I'm, you know, obviously he said that in court, so fair enough, but, you know, I don't believe that he's not influential at Newcastle United. He might not have a day-to-day involvement, but his philosophy for the club is what pins everybody down. And I think that Lee Charney last summer was given a free rein to do whatever he wanted, and we could see it worked well. This summer, something's changed, and in January, something changed. And that whatever has changed has come from Mike Ashley, whether directly or indirectly, it's come from somebody.
Seems like he's in the background, isn't he? I mean, a lot of people, a lot of fans and readers perhaps think that the situation in Newcastle is a little bit like when Freddie Shepherd was there, and he was at his desk and he was picking up the Chronicle every night, and, you know, he was making sure the Chronicle got stories. This is before my time, before your time.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of people on Twitter going, oh, you're in Ashley's pocket. Well, Mike Ashley isn't based in Newcastle. He's not up here. Lee Charney doesn't do a lot of press. The main voice, the only voice really from the boardroom, is Rafa's.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we've got a pre-season, obviously, Lee Huber over in Germany. Mm. You saw the two pre-season games there. You were the only journalist over there for the mains game. What impressed you the most? I mean, was there anyone that stood out particularly, from the squad that went over?
I think the team spirit, it's a bit of a cliche, I suppose, saying the team spirit's great going into the new season, but I've been in Newcastle tours where the team spirit isn't so good, and there's been a lot of infighting. I think, remember in America a few years ago when Jose Enrique was let loose on Twitter and probably didn't realise the damage he was doing. And there was problems within the group. Some players weren't speaking. They wouldn't sit on the same table as each other when they were having the meals and stuff like that. So I've seen Newcastle groups where the harmony hasn't been there. I mean, I think we've seen on social media the players doing the song before the dinners, and I think that bodes well for the season. That they seem to be a group that are determined to prove people wrong. A lot of people are going, we need new signings. We probably do need new signings, there's no doubt about that. But the players who are still here have still got a point to prove, and I quite like the fact that they're on a bit of a mission to show, you know, people, prove the doubters wrong, if you like.
And was there anyone, I know I've mentioned Aaron's earlier in the podcast, but anyone for you that you got back and you thought, you know, he's making a point, he's got something to prove?
I thought John Joe Shelby's been fantastic in pre-season. He's come back from a training camp in Portugal, which is a bit of a standing joke amongst the players, because they think that John Joe's been feeding the press about this Portugal trip, but he is in incredible shape from what he was two seasons ago when he first arrived here. He's looked good, he's looked sharp. If you've watched the games back, I think against Verona, some of the balls he played through were fantastic. Yeah. Same in Wolfsburg. The Wolfsburg players were trying to rattle him, trying to get him sent off. The referee actually said to take him off before he gets sent off, but he kept his cool. That was a really key point. Kept his cool, set the third goal up and got the win. So John Joe Shelby's a player that's come back with a point to prove. He's been handed the captain's armband a couple of times. Keep an eye on that on Sunday, because we don't know who's going to start out with the centre-halves. If Lascelles doesn't start, then Shelby could well be the man pulling the strings in the midfield with the captain's armband on. So, yeah, John Joe Shelby for me has had a top pre-season.
And how important do you think it was to travel kind of short haul as opposed to going to China or the United States? I mean, do you think that's going to play an important part at the start of the Premier League season?
I think for any football club, if you get a great deal, like a mega money deal to play in America or Australia or Japan, then it's good for the club. If you're in your first season back in the Premier League, it's perhaps not a good thing, because if you have a bad start, it can have a knock-on effect. And Newcastle need a good start. They need to get, you know, long before October, they need to have, you know, 10 to 12 points in the bag at least to make sure that they don't follow the likes of Sunderland and Middlesbrough. And I think, you know, you go back this long before I was a reporter in Newcastle in 1996, they went to Thailand, I think, when Shearer signed. And they came back in the first game was the Charity Shield and they got absolutely mauled, and it was because the players were completely drained of energy. I think the season when they went to New Zealand as well was similar. They didn't have a great start. So it's important to get pre-season right. If you're getting a good amount of money for it, it's probably worth it, especially if you've got the right squad. If you're coming up and you're struggling and you're getting a pittance for it, well, what's the point? Go somewhere where it's a short hop, get your work done, get your minutes under the belt, and then you start the season well. And I think that's where Newcastle are. They've had a short pre-season, they've done the work in Ireland and Germany, and now they're ready to start the season.
Tyson, just one last question about pre-season. I just want to ask you about the Army. From my personal opinion, I've been quite impressed when he's dropped a bit deeper. Yeah. He's running, he's making the tackles.
Yeah.
Where do you think his best position is? Do you still think he's up for that number 10, or do you think Benitez might see him kind of push back a bit?
Well, you've got Marino there as well now. You've got Shelby, you've got Hayden. So I think that's a role he could do, but I don't think he'd be first choice there. At the minute, there's a real scrap going on for that number 10 role between Perez, Diarmé and De Jong.
De Jong, yeah.
So, the forgotten man. So, he's a player that he's remained on board. There's no way that Rafa's looked to sell him, because he knows that he can do a job. He's a good guy in the dressing room. He's got experience as well. He has got a goal in him. So I think really he goes into the season again and he's got a point to prove. He's got to prove that he's regular. He's worth a regular starting place, which, you know, I mean, last season he admitted himself. He said this is his worst ever season, didn't he? So
obviously it's Spurs this Sunday, the big kickoff. In the last time Spurs were at St James' Park, it was some atmosphere, it was some game. You know, it could have been absolutely disastrous, but the fans kind of clubbed together and made it an atmosphere that arguably persuaded Rafa Benitez to stay, or at least to meet Mike Ashley and see what his options were. I mean, both of you guys were there. I mean, Mark, for you, what do you remember about the day?
It was a remarkable day in terms of the performance, which was kind of Newcastle had threatened to do that to a few teams actually at the start of the season, but then eventually that was the one point at which that team all sort of came together, because it was a good 11, but it just wasn't a team really, but they did come together that day. But the atmosphere was just phenomenal, and it was kind of the start of the rebirth of the football club in some ways, which hasn't been strangled despite what has happened this summer. You know, there's still that, it's still got the fan groups, you've still got a talk of I think the atmosphere would be fantastic on Sunday, and I think that was a day, you know, it was a day to kind of remember, which sounds ridiculous because, you know, they got relegated by Sunderland, don't forget, the few days before. Sunderland fans were flying a plane over. It was going to be like a humiliation. It was painted as, you know, Mike Ashley kind of protests were going to be kind of come in, and it just was completely different. And you know, it was some way to sign off from the Premier League. And I think that, you know, if the result is, if Newcastle get a draw on Sunday and the atmosphere is good, I think it will make a big difference. I think it's going to be really, really tough on Sunday. I think Spurs have been probably the outstanding team of the last two seasons, consistently not won anything. Probably the best team since Newcastle in 96 not to win anything last season. They were really, really good last season and the season before as well. But you know, you can, there's the chance of catching them cold, isn't there? It's a big, big different season for them this next year. If Newcastle can get on their midfield, which I think Rafa will set them up well, and defensively they can sort, they're all right. I think they can get something out of it. I think it's going to be hell of a tough. I think anything they get out of that game is a bonus.
And I mean, they've not signed anybody yet, Lee. Yeah, apparently they're on the verge of signing Southampton's second goalkeeper, I believe. I mean, the fact they've not signed anyone, Danny Rose has come out today and he's kind of said we need players. Yep. He's kind of had a sly dig. But I mean, for you, Lee, does it really matter they've not signed anyone? They've still got the likes of Harry Kane, you know, they've still got a very strong team and it's going to be a very tough test.
Well, they've signed a new stadium, haven't they? So and they're going to Wembley every week. So, no, seriously, I just think it's an opportunity for Newcastle to get a win. I think they've got some good players on the books, but I think if you pushed for a title in the last couple of seasons, you really need to freshen up. You can't really stand still, and they haven't done that. So hopefully they don't do it by Sunday. I'm not too worried about them signing a goalkeeper. But I think, as we've said many times, I think at St James's Park, when that's full, you can actually beat anybody. And it was proved that day when Newcastle already relegated, the 5-1. Mm. So I think really for Rafa, he'll see this as an opportunity. I think they'll do well.
So I said, obviously, one man who may or may not be there is Moussa Sissoko. He looks like he's possibly heading off to Turkey. I mean, it's just not really worked for him at all, has it?
No. Moussa Sissoko was, he made a bad career decision in some ways to go to Spurs, because I understand that he went because he gave him more money and gave him more, it was a bigger club for him in some ways. But, you know, Wijnaldum made a good career decision to go to Liverpool, knew that he was going to fit in. He was going to be there. Jan Mat, I think, probably not a bad move for him either. Townsend turned out okay for him in the end because he did stay in the England team. Sissoko was just badly advised, made the wrong decisions, was left to the last minute. I could understand him going to Spurs, but, you know, it wasn't Sissoko probably didn't make the bad decision. It was Spurs who made the bad decision by signing him. He's not, technically, he was never that good. You know, what he was about was pace, power, you know, in a team that was, you know, centred around him, which Newcastle was, he was pretty good. But Spurs were never going to do that because he's not as good as their other midfielders. So, I think just, he wasn't a bad guy, Sissoko. That was the thing. When you actually spoke to him, when you saw him with his, you know, family and stuff, he's obviously a nice guy.
but handled the whole situation dreadfully. You know, I thought was incredibly disrespectful of Newcastle United as an institution, and his manager as well. I mean, that interview that he gave, when which came out on the plane or bus back from Fulham, was, you know, I mean, Rafa, we're entitled to be absolutely furious with him for the timing of it. You know, so disrespectful. Newcastle were trying, he was, the whole thing that Rafa was trying to do was show that we've moved on from last season, and Moussa Seck was bringing it back on the day that they started the season, and that was the most disrespectful moment of the whole thing for me. And he might figure on Sunday, he'd probably be on the bench, I would have thought, because you know, I know he's completely out of favour, but they haven't got a lot of players, so he might be on the bench because he can play right back. He has played right back, I think. Did he play right back for Newcastle? Well, I'm not sure, but he definitely played right back.
Didn't last long in the memory if he did. Prediction wise on Sunday, score prediction,
I'll be optimistic and say I think it'd be a score draw, but Lee's very optimistic, and I'd like to have a bit of his optimism. Yeah, score draw.
If you start playing,
I think it'll be tough. I think Spurs will be a big threat, but I do think Newcastle will have a game plan under Benitez. I think secretly behind the scenes there's a lot of, you know, tactics going on and some interesting things that you might see on Sunday. So I'm going to be brave and predict a 2-1 win for Newcastle.
Here's hoping. And on that, obviously it's going to be a full house, sold out on Sunday. It was sold out more than a week before. We're going to listen to Rafa Benitez. He was speaking at the Premier League launch. This is courtesy of the NUFC.co.uk website, who kindly shared their audio with us.
You spoke about passion there. There'll be plenty of that in the stands. 52,000 sellout on Sunday. Will that be a bit of an extra boost for the players?
I hope so. I hope so that it will be the same during the whole season. So we have to realise what means to go relegated, what means to promote, and to be here again. So I think that all the fans, they have to help a little bit the players on the pitch to be sure that they give their best. And if we can do that during the whole season, we have more chances to achieve what we want to achieve. That the first target has to be to stay up, and the second one is just every game try to do a little bit better and go as high as we can in the table.
So there, obviously, Rafa's talking about a full house now. He wants a kind of the commitment and the passion from the fans to be all throughout the season, because it'll help the players get onto the next level. And he also has set out the kind of the target of obviously achieving survival is the top target, and then just whatever comes next, getting up as high as possible. I mean, first of all, the fans, I mean, they are the 12th man, aren't they? I mean, they are so important to make St James's Park this kind of cauldron of noise, Lee.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you look at newly promoted Brighton and Huddersfield as well. I think their fans will be experiencing something different this week, something exciting and new, whereas Newcastle have been there. But, you know, because this city is about football, it's anticipation and just getting back into that routine. People have got the, you know, on a match day they like getting up early and going to the favourite pubs, meeting up with their friends. It's an outlet, but when the game kicks off, everyone's right behind the team, and I've got a funny feeling it's going to be an electric atmosphere, this one, because I think there's so much build up has happened now, and I think for Rafa Benitez, his name will be getting chanted from the rooftops, and I just think there'll be a few surprises as well on the day, so it's going to be one I'm looking forward to and cannot wait.
And Mark, obviously, he set survival as his priority. I mean, that's is that realistic, or do you think he's just dumbing it down and he'll be aiming for a bit higher?
I think apart from seven teams at the top, that's where everybody starts the season, isn't it? Even Leicester, you know, last season won the league, and then the next season they had to make a change to stay up. So I think he's absolutely spot on there. I mean, you know, he'll be aspiring to more than that. He hasn't got the players in who he wanted to aspire to more than that. But yeah, I mean, survival is clearly the number one. I mean, Newcastle have been involved in three relegation fights in the last four seasons that they've had in the Premier League. So if they can stay out of that scrap at the bottom, then, you know, it's progress. I think the fans will be fantastic. I think Sunday is going to be a very interesting day, and it's going to be a big day for Newcastle United, for a lot of reasons. And I think that you'll probably see that the atmosphere will just be phenomenal, and it's an early kickoff as well. So town was going to be buzzing from about 9 o'clock You know, it's going to be really good. I'm looking forward to it, actually. I'm sort of talking myself into looking forward to it now. But yeah, no, I think the fans are just, you know, they're going to be so important this season.
Definitely. And we'll get on to kind of the whole season as a whole. But we'll start with kind of just looking at the players Newcastle signed so far. You know, is the one player, Lee, that sticks out for you is the kind of the sign which you see, you know, that is, you kind of hold them up and say that's the one?
Well, probably a couple I would mention. I mean, Lejeune has looked really, really comfortable at centre back. Reminds me a little bit of, I mean, we've had some dodgy defences down the years, right? We're from the Keegan era, and then we've just had to the downright pathetic defences. But this guy brings me a lot of confidence when he's on the ball, just weaves out of the defence, plays a simple pass, just calms everything down. He reminds me a little, the only other sort of time I felt like this is when we said Jonathan Woodgate.
Yes, I mean, against Verona, he looked so composed on the ball. He was taking his time, and it makes a difference to the whole team, doesn't it?
Cause yeah, and if you can keep him fit, which we couldn't do with Woodgate, we end up selling him. You know, it was. I mean, I remember a night when Newcastle played Marseille, and Drogba was at his pomp, and you know, he was scoring goals for fun. Woodgate just completely had him in his pocket that night, and you know, you remember defenders like that when Newcastle, because of the bad defences. But this guy, so far, so good, has looked really comfortable and composed. The other guy I give a quick mention to is Marino. Once he gets the minutes in his legs, I think he's going to be a fantastic sign. He's come in from Dortmund, didn't really get a chance there. Did well in Spain before that, but obviously playing under Rafa, he seems hungry. He seems like a really switched on, intelligent lad as well. He's been training on his own to try and build up the fitness. Seems to quickly want to get his apartment sorted out within the city and just really get stuck into life here and take on the challenge. And I think he's been a good, shrewd signing for Rafa.
And it's going to be a difficult decision for Rafa, hasn't he? He's got a couple of difficult decisions to make. Is it going to be Hayden and Shelby? Is it going to be Shelby and Marino? And is it going to be Lejeune and Clark or Lejeune and Lascelles? Because we're pretty certain that it'll be Shelby and Lejeune starting in them positions. But for you, Lee, I mean, do you think he's made his mind up, or is it going to be...
I think fitness-wise, Marino's, I think, he's only got, 50 minutes under his belt so far. I think that's a cause for concern. Hayden looked sharp the other day. He may start, and Marino might play a part in the game. So I think that's going to be... It's going to be close. And then the centre-backs, well...
Clark?
You'd think Clark, but then do you drop your captain?
Yeah,
Is it a case that Benitez likes to play one right foot and one left foot, and that would fit Clark and Lejeune? Or, you know, but like Lee says, do you drop your captain?
I mean, it would be setting some statement to begin with for the season. He's not afraid to do it. He's done it before. Lascelles hasn't. If you look at Lascelles' minutes, he hasn't played as many as others. Clark's been the main man, although Clark's played on the left hand side as well, and we've spoken on this before about potential different shapes in the defence. So as I say, you cannot rule anything out with Rafa. We keep these tactics closely guarded, and yeah, I think it's a big decision if you drop Lascelles.
And Mark, for you, I mean, the player who's, any player that's come in that stands out?
Not a player who's come in, but I think Atsu's pretty sharp in pre-season.
He has, strong.
I thought he was really good on Sunday, and you know, he's kind of gone under the radar a bit but he finished the season really well, and he started the season well, and I think he probably wouldn't have been Rafa's team sheet for the Spurs game when he signed him, but I think he probably will be on Sunday now. So I think he's, you know, let's not forget, you know, he's a new signing, but obviously he's played for Newcastle. But
Stu Jameson will be devastated, because if you remember, he was the only one of our sports desk who said not to sign him. So we'll be reminding him of that every game to come. So I mean, season preview, kind of, I mean, prediction wise I know obviously the season's just kicking off, we could be getting a few more signings in, but I mean, generally, how do you see the season going? Do you think it's going to be a comfortable season, Mark? Do you think it's going to be a battle against relegation?
I think it's going to be a battle. I think it's going to be a battle because, you know, you've got the step-ups huge, and you know, the top six teams, if Newcastle can take any points off them, they'll be doing well. because they're all really strong teams, and I think they will take some points off those top six in the season. But then, you know, then you're putting the pressure on the next set of games that they've got to go and win. And Rafa made a good point yesterday when he said the mentality thing's key for Newcastle because they're used to winning. I think Rafa's only lost 12 games since he's been here. I think
he's got a fantastic record.
Maybe even less than that. So
he nearly kept them up the season before. You know, if he'd came in a few games earlier, if he'd come in January or February, would
and they'd signed a striker. Yeah. Apart from Seydou Doumbia, you know, he would have kept him up. So, you know, we're kind of like, and Rafa himself has said, look, the manager doesn't matter as much as people kind of make out. You've got to have good players, but you know, if I think they'll stay up if Rafa stays and they get a striker in. But I think it's going to be you know, they're going to struggle at times. People have got to stick with it as long as Rafa's happy.
And yourself, I mean, how do you see, are you along the same lines? It's going to be a bit of a battle.
Well, it'll be tough, but it's always tough. For me, I'm probably a little bit more optimistic. I think if Rafa gets the players he wants in the next 3 weeks and obviously he stays, then I think we're going to have a good season. I'm not going to say, I mean, I think it was Dean Saunders and Greg Bellamy in the summer said about finishing the top, the Newcastle fans expected finishing the top four. Well, I don't know which Newcastle fans he's been to and do. I'm not going to be unrealistic and say top six or top eight, but I think they can definitely finish in the middle of the table with a, you know, you'd expect that from Rafa. Mm-hmm. And if we can continue, I just wish Mike Ashley can sit down with him and tap into his vision, because I think if you continue to back Rafa, give him what he needs, let the club flow properly, you know, continue to, you know, play for the fan base. If Rafa stays here 3 or 4 years, I'm pretty convinced you can put at least one trophy on the table, and that's something we've been praying for decades, my whole life as well. And I think Rafa's the man to do it. Give him 2 or 3 seasons, keep backing him, he'll keep you in the Premier League, and he'll deliver a cup. And I think, to be fair, even if Newcastle won the League Cup, the party would go on forever.
You can see that as well, just in the way you're speaking. Obviously, yeah, I'm a fan, you're a fan. And there is an excitement, there is, about what Rafa can achieve. And it is so frustrating when you look at it, at what Mike Ashley is not doing. And everything else is in the right kind of, all the ingredients are there, except the key one, which is Mike Ashley's money, the budget. And it is very frustrating to be in the position where it is near on perfect, but for the one thing.
Well, I think Ashley's got to enjoy it as well again, hasn't he? Because he hasn't enjoyed it in recent years. There's been protests, and rightly so, that things weren't going right. But there was a time where he was loving being a football club owner, wasn't he? Wearing the shirt and not all that kind of thing. And I'm pretty sure if there's one man out there that can get him back intoxicated by the club again, that's Rafa.
That's the surprise, isn't it, really, that Rafa went into the chairman's suite at the end of last season with the trophy. You know, they had pictures and three of them with arms around each other. So why then, you know, he's kind of like, you know, it looked like there was a bit of a bond forming there, there was an understanding. So why it's ended up how it has this summer, I assume we'll probably find out soon enough. But you know, as I said, it's, you know, like Lee talking there about, I mean, I'm not a fan, and I would love to see this city with a trophy. You know, I would love to see it. I mean, you know, I covered North East football full stop, and I remember going with Sunderland to the cup final. Newcastle haven't done anything close to that since I've been here, but I remember going with Sunderland to the cup final and League Cup final, and you know, they're kind of, it's like an aching in this city and an aching in this region for a bit of success. And it would be just terrific. It would be absolutely terrific, and it would be, you know, kind of something to see. And I think that Rafa thinks he can do it. I mean, you look at his record in cups, he's won everything pretty much. So, and I mean, you know, everybody says, I mean, he said himself, the manager doesn't do anything. He won the European Cup with Jimmy Traore playing at fullback. He got half of those players he then sold, didn't he, within about 2 seasons.
I mean, you'd see not, if Rafa Benitez delivered a trophy of this city, you'd have seen nothing like it. You know, I've been in the city, reached the cup final in 98 and 99. And there's like 70,000 people in the city centre to cheer on an open top bus with no trophy.
Remember that, the Civic Centre.
The Civic Centre.
Remember that.
And you know, when they won the first division in 93, the old first division obviously, there was like 200,000 people in the centre, like climbing on top of church roofs to get a glimpse of Keegan, nearly killing themselves to get a glimpse of Kevin Keegan with the trophy. And it's like, what would it be like if there was real success?
But it was buzzing on the final game of the season, wasn't it? I mean, that atmosphere was absolutely fantastic that day because, you know, obviously the way it happened, if they'd have just rolled it over, it wasn't quite as good in 08-09 when they kind of just won the league. It was good atmosphere at the end of it, but the atmosphere for that Barnsley game, town was absolutely just, you know, we were kind of all sitting out. I wanted to go to a bar and sit somewhere and enjoy it with everybody else. We had to work, so we couldn't. But it was great. And you know, I just think that vision. If you know Mike Ashley to go down as the man who delivered Rafa, and then they won something on it. You know, his legacy would be completely different from what it is now. And you know, he baffles me, Mike Ashley, because I don't see. You know, if he doesn't want hassle from his football club and he wants it to run itself, let Rafa get on with it and just see what happens, you know? Because I'll tell you, it's a lot harder for him if Rafa walks out, because, you know, you've got a different manager potentially going down again and all that. And it's just, you know, the consequences of not doing what he wants are much higher than the potential pitfalls of giving him some money and letting him sort of do what he wants. I mean, you know, I think there was probably a little bit of frustration on Ashley's part that they demanded Carr to go, and I think there's probably a little bit of all of that, you know, floating around. But you've given Rafa's had the keys to the castle now for 18 months, so what are you going to do? You know, you've gone all in, just give him a little bit more.
Hopefully he gets the message. And I mean, I suppose, was it nearly 40,000 season tickets is you know, everything's kind of suggesting that Benitez is the right man for the job. But we'll live and hope that Ashley does give Benitez a bit more money. What we'll do now, we'll just finish on a couple of questions. Firstly, Lee, one from Twitter, from Liam, who's iDabs89, that's his Twitter handle. He asks, are Newcastle now relying on loans?
Well, I wouldn't say that we're relying on them, but that's a very high possibility that's the direction they're going to go in, because they're simply, you know, if you look at that, the Perez deal at Arsenal, Arsenal want 13.4 million probably up front. You have to pay the agent fees. You have to probably put a 5-year contract down for him. That's going to stack up very highly. I think you've done a piece the other week about the Marino deal, why he's coming on loan and the financial implications of that. They're probably looking at something closer to a season-long loan deal with some terms and conditions in, which would buy them some time once the TV money kicks in to eventually pay for someone like Perez.
And for you, Mark, Miles Lambert, again on Twitter, asks, you know, what chance do you give the club being better prepared for January? And is that something that the club are already thinking towards?
I don't think they're thinking about January necessarily, but I think there'll be money to spend in January. You know, they get more of the money during the season, so there'll be a bit of money there. But, you know, prices then might be quite high. So, again, what Rafa said yesterday about mistakes. But I think there will be money to spend in January.
Especially if they're doing all right.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Just a quick mention, we are hopefully over the next kind of few months going to have some special guests on the podcast, some special podcasts, you know, the ins and outs, hopefully of the club with some ex-players as well. And, of course, you know, the season kicks off this Sunday. Lee and Mark will both be at the ground. Chris is off on his holidays. So
shocking, isn't it?
Only not just with a commitment. But and we'll be covering obviously live at chroniclelive.co.uk. So join us on Sunday for the big kickoff.
And don't forget to rate the podcast if you liked
something.
It.
Yes, so on if iTunes, you liked if you in the top point, there's an option to review. If you can give it hopefully 5 stars and leave a little comment, we'd much appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Ook bewust bezig zijn met je mobiel? Dat kan al voor €21,50 per maand met de iPhone SE 32 GB. Nu met 300 minuten of sms'jes en 1000 MB 4G-internet. Kijk op ben.nl.
Let op. Geld lenen kost geld.